This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Good Wednesday morning to you on SportsMap Radio. Tony D still off. John Stashower still in, third day in a row. I think Tony is back tomorrow. Ron Culver is in as well. Good to have you with us for the next couple of hours as we talk about things going on. I mean, you know, we're into May, and May is usually a really good month for sports because you usually at this time have NBA and NHL playoffs going on as well as regular season baseball. Now, we don't have the playoffs yet. That's coming. Coming soon, but still, last night was a night where you can kind of flick around and watch different games. I'm watching the Nets and the Bucks. They played a really good game on Sunday. They played another good one last night. Bucks won them both. And I'm watching the Yankees and the Astros, and it wasn't something that I saw in that game that struck me. It was what I heard. I heard fans. I mean, I really heard them. Now, there were only 10,000 allowed in, 20% capacity, but Yankee Stadium was sounding like a playoff game last night, and we'll talk about why. It was because the Astros were in town and because of what happened going back to 2017, but I was just struck about, like, finally, to hear crowd reaction. You know, for this time last year, we didn't have anything. Nothing. You know, there was a horse on ESPN. That was, like, what we're talking about. Finally, we got sports back, you know, when was it, like late July last year? No fans anywhere, and it was good to have something, but you really missed the fans. It was not the same, you know, to hear sneakers squeaking on the court of a basketball game. Now we've got some fans back, and we're getting to a point where we're going to have full capacity, full stadiums, full arenas, and that's going to be great. Now, we're not there yet. This thing is not over. You know, Adam Wainwright, the longtime Cardinals pitcher, just revealed that he didn't get COVID because he got the vaccine, but his wife and all five of his kids were dealing with COVID. Evan Fournier of the Celtics just missed time with COVID, and he says he's still feeling the effects. He's suffering from depth perception. He's dizzy. You know, it's not over. Ask the people in India. It's not over, but we're getting there, and it was great to hear fans last night. And why were they there? We'll talk about that coming up.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
No, he's off. He's back. Ron, is he back tomorrow? I know I'm not.
He's back tomorrow.
Okay, Tony back tomorrow. John Stashower, Ron Culver with you, SportsMap Radio. So, Ron, you're a Dodger fan. I'm a Yankee fan. And both our teams got screwed by the 2017 Houston Astros.
Just a little bit, yeah.
And you're in an interesting position because now you live in Houston.
I do.
So,
You know, what's funny was when they did win in 2017, there was a part of me that's like, well, you know what? You're pulling on my heartstrings a little bit there, Houston, because you overcame a horrible situation here in Houston called Hurricane Harvey. Mm. And so it was one of those situations where I was like, you know what? I don't mind that we lost to you.
that's how you felt then.
That was how I felt then.
Yeah. Who knew?
But at the same time,
Who knew about garbage cans?
Yeah, but you know what? Even now, they won two games on our home turf. They won the final game on our home turf. So I really can't be too upset. Like, we need to protect home.
Yeah,
you know, won Game 7 at Dodger Stadium. So.
As opposed to the ALCS, which was a seven-game series, and the Astros won all four in Houston, and the Yankees won all three in New York. So in that regard, yeah, Yankee fans might be even more upset, because that cost them the series. They lost all four games in Houston. That's where they were banging the garbage cans. Well, the reason we're talking about all this is because the Yankees played the Astros last night.
Did they? I didn't see that on social media at all.
No. For the first time, as I mentioned at the top, I mean, it was really cool just to hear fans. And I mean, it's been 14 months, you know, when we went with no fans and now some fans, and we're getting to the point, you know, kids are back at schools now and restaurants and they're going back to the office. So it was really cool just to hear crowd noise last night. It was a crazy game. Bregman hits, you know, one of the only five guys still on the Astros from 2017. Alex Bregman's one of them. He hits a home run. Then Giancarlo Stanton, who's been red hot, hits a home run. Yankees have a lead. Astros tie it. Yankees score three runs on a crazy play where Bregman throws the ball away. Big collision at the plate. Anyway, Yankees win the game 7-3, and Yankee fans are happy. And we revisit what happened in 2017 with the Astros. And the question being, did they get off easy? We know what happened. Jeff Luhnow lost his job, hasn't gotten another one. A.J. Hinch lost his job, does have another one, but he's managing the worst team in baseball, the Tigers. Alex Cora had to miss a year. He's back coaching the Red Sox. Carlos Beltran had gotten the Mets managerial job and then didn't get it and hasn't been heard from since. And, of course, all these players told Major League Baseball what had happened and were granted immunity, so no one really got any kind of disciplinary reaction. And the Astros have the flag, and they wear their rings, and some people think that's wrong. I'm of the belief that while, you know, I'm not, they were wrong with what they did and there deserved to be some punishment. I don't understand the whole, you know, the NCAA does this stuff, vacating teams' championships and wins. They won the games. They scored more runs. They won more games. And were they helped by the scandal and by the cheating? They were. But I don't think you can go back and then say, well, this didn't happen. There wasn't a World Series. You can't. I mean, you're not going to give the Dodgers the ring. You're not going to give the Yankees the pennant. And I don't think you can go back and say, well, that there was no World Series in 2017. I think that's silly. You think the Astros got off easy, Ron?
Yeah. Compared to, I mean, what probably should have happened or what could have happened. I mean, none of the players got suspended. I mean, like you said, I mean, you know, only A.J. Hinch, Jeff Luhnow were the only two people who got fired. And really, they were kind of just scapegoats. You know, A.J. Hinch.
Well, do you believe Luhnow, who says he didn't know anything about this? I mean, that seems hard to believe.
I can believe. I guess there's a part of me that wants to believe it. I don't know if I fully believe it. I think I would like to think that the general manager has some clue of what's going on with his guys. I can definitely, I mean, if A.J. Hinch came out and said, yeah, I had no idea what was going on, then yeah, you definitely need to be fired. The fact that he did admit that he knew about it, just didn't do anything about it. I mean, at least he owned up to that.
Well, Hinch, and I believe Hinch, when he said that he knew about it and he really didn't like the idea, but he didn't do anything about it. I mean, he had to know. First of all, that, you know, remember how this came out. You know, there were Fires was the pitcher who, you know, was the whistleblower with the Athletic, and you had to think that something like this was going to come out. And for Hinch, and I think Luhnow, who must have known at least something about it, to not realize that and say, guys, come on, we're going to get caught here, and it's going to be a big problem. I mean, I can't believe they were that stupid. These are smart guys. Luhnow is a really smart guy. We know that. So was Hinch. And I was just shocked that they couldn't see what was going to be coming down the road as a result of all this.
Yeah, I mean, they had to know that once the cat was out of the bag, it was all done. It was all downhill from there. And they kind of been playing like it since. You know, I mean, last year into this year, they're kind of. It's almost like, you know, when you see a player gets popped for steroids, you know, for PED use, they're not really the same player afterwards. Yeah, you kind of get that feeling with these guys.
Well, you know, it's interesting you make the steroid comparison because I think it's also appropriate in that my feeling on steroids is, you know, yeah, they broke rules and there was cheating and all that. But, you know, you still have to hit the ball over the fence. You know, a lot of guys took steroids and it really didn't help them because they didn't have the ability of a Barry Bonds or a Mark McGwire. You know, I always think of the Giambi brothers. they were both steroid users, and the roids probably helped Jason become an MVP. His brother, Jeremy, still couldn't hit. You know, it's not like, and then same thing with banging, you know, a garbage can and knowing what pitch is coming, it certainly helps the hitter. It has to. Logic tells you if you know a fastball is coming, that's going to help you. But, you know, Altuve still had to hit the ball over the fence.
Right.
So, you know, so I, again.
Still give him a little bit of credit. I mean, you still got to put the ball in play.
Yeah.
Even though you may know it's coming, you still got to put bat on ball and make contact. And
now the other, you know, I mentioned Altuve.
Kind of helps though if you know which pitch is coming.
Right. Now, I mentioned Altuve because remember what happened 2 years after in 2019? It was the Astros and the Yankees again in the ALCS. And Altuve hits the series-winning homer in Game 6 off Aroldis Chapman. And he's circling the bases in Houston. And what do players all do now when they hit these walk-off home runs? They tear off their jersey. And Altuve, he's rounding third and coming home, and he's immediately waving his hand, telling his teammates not to rip off his jersey.
I'm not into that.
So you know what
that.
Happened? He went into the locker room.
Yeah, I'm not into that conspiracy theory,
And then he came back
though.
Out. No, hold on. He comes back out without the jersey, and Ken Rosenthal asked him about it. He said, well, my wife didn't want me to get the jersey, like, you know, poured water on it. I mean, very suspicious, Ron.
Yeah, no, I don't buy that. I don't buy into that one. I don't buy into the buzzer theory.
That he had buzzers.
Yeah,
in his chest underneath his jersey, and that was telling him what pitch.
No, because here's the whole reason why. Is because I mean, you know, I don't think they were at that level of sophistication. Just because, I mean, at that time, you could still bang a trash can and no one would think anything different.
True.
And so I don't buy into that, like, oh, there's a little buzzer that's going to be, you know,
but
let you know
it,
what's going
it doesn't,
on.
I mean, when you've already been found guilty, and Altuve was part of all this in 2017, clearly, you know, you don't get the benefit of the doubt here. It is pretty weird behavior. You've just hit a home run to win the pennant, and your concern as you round third is that your jersey would get wet and that would upset your wife.
No, it is strange, but having met him as well, he has a little bit of introvertness to him.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of strangeness. And believe me, the first time I did see him, I thought it was a 13-year-old kid that walked into the room. I was shocked at how small he was.
He was the big target of Yankee fans last night.
Oh, of course.
Now, their chant was not exactly
Radio-friendly?
Not radio-friendly. Four-letter words started with an F, Jose Altuve. It wasn't very creative. You know,
that was
pretty much it. But Cal Altuve's kind of in the middle of this. I remember in 2017, he won the MVP ahead of Aaron Judge. Cody Bellinger, your guy, came out and said, Judge got screwed. You know, Altuve cheated. Judge should have won the MVP. You know, the Yankees may not have been completely innocent. There's a lot of innuendo that they may have done some stuff. You know, the Red Sox have made some accusations about the Yankees. So there may have been some sign stealing. The Astros, I think the thing is, they took it to a whole different level. You know, it's one thing to make an attempt to steal signs, but when you've got this elaborate system where you're banging garbage cans, you know, once for a fastball and twice for a curveball or whatever they did, that's really taking it to a whole other level. So Yankees get some revenge last night, and they're finally over the 500 mark. So I thought that was great to have fans really loud last night at Yankee Stadium. All right, Aaron Rodgers. We talked about it a lot Monday and yesterday, and a little bit of a reaction to some things that we heard yesterday. We'll do that coming up at Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
He's off. He'll be back tomorrow. I'm John Stashower in for Tony at Sports Map Radio. We've made it 26 minutes into the show without talking about Aaron Rodgers. So let's talk about Aaron Rodgers a little bit, because we had a guest on the show yesterday, a guy, Andy Berman is his name. He was really good. He does a Packer podcast every day, Pack-a-Day. And I thought he said a couple of interesting things. That you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, just what is the reason for Aaron Rodgers' disgruntlement. And we talked about, you know, the drafting of Jordan Love last year and the trade up to get him. And he said it's not so much that they did it, but that they didn't tell Rodgers that they were going to do it. And there's some, you can understand that a little bit. You know, his feelings were hurt. And so you had to know that his feelings were going to be hurt. So why not place a phone call and try and explain your reasoning? And I thought Andy yesterday gave a really good example, because apparently there was, I don't know if it was a documentary or some kind of video of the Indianapolis Colts, like War Room, or, you know, on a draft, not maybe it was last year, I don't know, but they drafted a running back and they were wary of how Marlon Mack, their incumbent starting running back, was going to feel about that. And so they placed a call to Marlon Mack, and that's Marlon Mack. That's not Aaron Rodgers. So his point, and I thought it was a good point, that if the Colts are going to do that, you know, with a running back in Marlon Mack, how are the Packers not doing that with a quarterback, a Hall of Fame MVP quarterback in Aaron Rodgers? It's just, I don't know how the Packers could, I didn't understand doing it, but I certainly don't understand the way that they did it. So I thought that was an interesting point that he brought up. And what really surprised me, Ron, let me get your thoughts on this. I asked him, you know, what's the fan reaction? Because obviously I'm sure he has a lot of interaction with the fans on his podcast. I would have thought that Packer fans would be all in for Rodgers and all against the team. Like, what are you doing? Pissing off Aaron Rodgers. He's your franchise quarterback. You got to make him happy. You got to do whatever you can to make him happy. We don't want Jordan Love as our quarterback. We don't want to get back, you know, Drew Lock in a trade with Denver and have him be our quarterback. We want Rodgers. So I would have thought, you know, 99% of the Packer fans would be on Aaron Rodgers' side on this. He said that's not the case. He said it's pretty much split. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, it does, because I half expected the fans to storm the Lambeau Field like Manchester United fans stormed Old Trafford over the weekend. Here's where I think the risk is. Do they really think lightning strikes a third time? And what I, or strikes twice, I guess. Because what I mean by that is, you know, they're undoubtedly going to have PTSD with Rodgers right now. With the whole Favre situation, where Favre retired, unretired, then he retired, then he unretired, and, you know, he just kept coming back, and then finally, you know, Packers said enough's enough and shipped him off. I'm wondering if they think lightning's going to strike twice, just because, you know, Aaron Rodgers ended up being Aaron Rodgers. Right. We had no idea what he was going to be when he finally took over for Favre.
But I think they had a clue. I mean, they saw him in practice for 3 years.
You have a clue, but I mean, how you perform in practice is different than how you perform in a game.
True, it's true.
And, you know, was the moment going to be too big for him? Was he just not going to, you know, be able to complete those passes or live up to becoming the shoes of Brett Favre? Do they think Jordan Love is going to be the same way?
Well, you know, you mentioned what happened with Favre and Rodgers back in 2005. Andrew Brandt is a guy that I know a little bit from when I was at ESPN. I follow him on Twitter, and he's a good follow. And he wrote a thing on SI.com. He was in the Packers front office in 2005, and he explained what happened. They went into that draft never thinking for a minute that they were going to draft Aaron Rodgers. They had the 24th pick. Rodgers, remember, he was in the green room. He was the only one left at the end. He was expected to go earlier, and he kept dropping, and they get to the 24th pick, and he was the only player, Andrew explained, that was still available that they had a first-round grade on, and they thought they'd get some phone calls for teams trying to trade up. They didn't, and they took him. It wasn't what their plan was. You know, he kind of fell into their laps. That's different than what the Packers did last year. The Packers traded up specifically to get Jordan Love. The other difference, as you mentioned, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has turned into an immortal, you know, elite quarterback. We don't know anything about Jordan Love. You know, he wasn't even the backup last year. He wasn't even in uniform.
No.
He was the third stringer.
In fact, I joked about this beginning of the season, midway through the season, towards the end of the season. I knew for a fact Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to let him see 1 second on that field. Not even he wasn't even going to let him do like, hey, go out there and take the kneel down because the game's done. Wasn't even going to let him do that.
Well, he wasn't even in uniform, which just makes you think that he wasn't that good, and they weren't that impressed with what they saw from him in, you know, obviously there weren't off-season stuff. It was a weird year. You know, they didn't have preseason games. He would have normally gotten into preseason games. He would have gotten a little bit of a feel for how good he is. The other thing that Andy said in that interview yesterday, he called Aaron Rodgers a, quote, different cat. That's what you hear about him, you know. And did you see Terry Bradshaw go off on Rodgers? Now, Bradshaw has kind of this he's with a lot of the current quarterbacks, it seems like, I don't know what he's got against some of these guys, but he ripped Rodgers, and he pointed out that when he was in Pittsburgh, the Steelers were a couple of times drafted guys to maybe replace him, and he just shook it off and said, well, I'm better than those guys, and he was. I thought he went a little too far, and again, from all indications, it's not so much that they drafted Love, because look, Rodgers didn't lose his job, and there's no indication that he will lose his job, at least not right now. But it was the lack of communication. Maybe it was the contract situation where maybe he was looking for an extension, other guys were getting taken care of. It was more about, his feelings getting hurt. And as Andrew Brandt pointed out in his SI.com, this guy, Gutkunst, have we figured out how to pronounce that? Something like that. Close enough. He's not a guy with very strong people skills. You know, he's a scout. He's good at that. But if you're going to be a general manager of the Green Bay Packers, you got to have some people skills, and apparently he doesn't have very good ones. So we are.
Which doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I mean, general managers usually, they're just really there to negotiate the best deal for the team. I think a lot of them need to have some sort of people skills because, you know, in a way, they're kind of like the face of the franchise. But, you know, I mean, if you're good at at least getting the players into the door,
that's the job.
That's all that matters.
The other thing that Andrew pointed out, you know, Terry Bradshaw ripping Aaron Rodgers for his reaction to the Jordan Love drafting. Well, apparently Brett Favre, and I could see this, Brett Favre was livid that the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers in 2005. He was royally pissed off. And you know who else was pissed off? Was Aaron Rodgers' agent, because he's like, hey, my guy's not going to play. And he didn't for 3 years. So there are similarities. There's also differences. We know how the Favre thing ended. He retired, and then he changed his mind, and the Packers had already, you know, back then, that was after the 07 season, you know, Favre didn't change his mind until, like, the summer. Rodgers had already been through the OTAs, the minicamps, and all that, so they're like, Brett, come on, we're moving on. So he went, obviously, to Minnesota and the Jets and all that. We don't know how this thing is going to turn out. I tried to press Andy Berman a little bit on it yesterday. Like, what, you know, how's this thing going to, what's going to be the storyline here? And nobody really knows. What's your best guess, Ron? I mean, is he going to be back in Green Bay? Is he going to get traded to another team? Or is he going to retire?
I don't think he's going to get traded. I think it's going to be a long, drawn-out battle, but I see him starting week one.
Green Bay.
I see him playing week one in Green Bay and then possibly going through just a disgruntled year. You know, mainly, you know, probably just giving the Colts.
He can opt out after 21. Then
yeah, exactly. And that's what I think is going to happen is that. Yeah,
then you get to go where you want to go.
Right.
I don't think he wants to go to necessarily Denver or Vegas or Washington or some of these teams.
I don't see him retiring knowing that, hey, if you just get through one season, you're done. And because, I mean, you know, listen, he looks like the type of kid right now who is, and I say kid, I mean, rough, you know, just like maybe a year older than him or a couple years older than him. But he looks like someone who is going the Tom Brady method and just being able to play well into the 40s.
More on Aaron Rodgers coming up, but I want to talk about a hockey player who's going to play tonight and maybe he shouldn't be. That's next. It's Sports Map Radio.
to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
John Stashower in for Tony. Good to have you with us, SportsMap Radio. So it seems like the only time you talk about hockey is when Tom Wilson goes off and does something crazy. And he did it the other night. Tom Wilson is the goon of the Washington Capitals. He's actually more than a goon. Goons generally are guys who just fight. Wilson's a skilled player. He can score goals for you, and that's why he really is a valuable member of the Washington Capitals. He was a part of the team that won the Stanley Cup a couple years ago. So Wilson was doing his thing, though, the other night in New York against the Rangers in what was really a meaningless regular season game. The Rangers are out of the playoff hunt. They were in it about a week ago, and then they lost a couple games. And so they've been ousted. They're just playing out the string. The Capitals are going to the playoffs. These games are somewhat important for them because their teams bunched together, so they're trying to get home ice advantage. But there was a scrum in the corner, and Wilson first went at it against the Rangers, Pavel Buchnevich. He with his glove on, you're supposed to drop the gloves. Wilson should know that with the amount of fisticuffs he's been in. But with the glove on, he punched Buchnevich in the back of the head. Talk about a defenseless guy. The back of the head, he knocked him down. Then he got into it with Artemi Panarin and threw him to the ice. And, here's the thing. If you're not aware, Buchnevich and Panarin are the Rangers' top two scorers. Now, again, these Rangers are playing out the rest of the season, but Panarin's injured. He's going to miss the rest of the season. Can you imagine if they were going for a playoff berth and they had to now play without their best player because of what Wilson did? But my problem, Ron, and I don't know how much of a hockey guy you are, but, yeah, every team's got these guys whose job it is to, air quotes, intimidate and sometimes get into fights. I don't have a problem when it's goon against goon, when they just square off and they drop the gloves and they go at it for a little bit and the officials let them do it and there's some wrestling and some punches are thrown. But when it's goon against scorer, Panarin and Buchnevich are goal scorers. They're not guys who get into fights. That's unfair. That shouldn't happen. And I think that's what the Rangers were really upset about most.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone loves a good goon on goon fight. I mean, that's what hockey is. I remember living in L.A. There used to be a minor league team called Ice Dogs, right? And there was just one guy, and you just waited for him to get in because his whole mission in life was just to go and push people around. And that's all you wanted.
There's a great story. I don't know who. I know one of them was Dave Semenko, who had a great name for being a goon. He was like Wayne Gretzky's goon. He kept everyone off Gretzky on Edmonton. And I forget who we got into the fight with. It was someone on the Hartford Whalers. So the two of them, had just wailed on each other. And I think it was the guy in the Whalers who ended up in the hospital. Semenko put him in the hospital. That night, Semenko, I think, legend has it, brought with him a six-pack of beer, visited him in the hospital, and they had a good old time in the hospital.
Fantastic.
Drinking a six-pack and, reminiscing about what had happened, knocking out some teeth and
stuff
like that.
As it should be.
Yeah. So, look, I think the NHL, I remember the days when bench-clearing fights before they even dropped the puck. And, you mentioned minor league hockey. You've seen Slapshot, right? I mean, everyone's.
Yes.
So, I had to think about Slapshot today when I heard that the Rangers have called up their goon from the minors because they're playing the Capitals tonight. And Wilson's going to play, I assume. He's not going to be a scaredy cat and not play. Everybody thought he was going to get suspended. He's been suspended five times. He got suspended for 20 games in 2018. And I think everyone was stunned that he didn't get a suspension. This time he got a $5,000 fine. The Rangers have called for the firing of George Parros. He's the guy who made the decision. He's the NHL's director of, again, air quotes, team safety. And here's the thing, Rob. George Parros, he was a goon when he played. Now, he's a smart guy, went to Princeton. I remember he had this big mustache, but I looked it up. George Parros played 9 years for 5 teams. He had, in those 9 years, 18 goals and over 1,000 penalty minutes. Does the NHL not understand that maybe when you're hiring the guy to make decisions and doling out discipline, that maybe it shouldn't be a guy with that kind of a history? So he's, you know, he's like, hey, I was a goon. I didn't want to get suspended. I don't know.
I changed my ways. I saw the light.
So
maybe got some therapy.
The Rangers have called for the firing of George Parros. And I will watch this game tonight because, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? It was going to be a scene out of Slapshot where they just, as soon as they drop the puck, they're going to go after Tom Wilson. I don't know. There's going to be extra security, extra police in the building?
For the stands?
Oh, yeah. I mean, who knows? Who knows?
I don't know. I'm all in.
You're fine with fisticuffs and
yeah, things like that? Yeah, that's what sets hockey apart from the rest of the sports, is that it's kind of, I don't want to say encouraged. They've been doing a lot over the last couple of years to try to discourage that, but it's... You know, it's part of hockey. Get your teeth knocked out and keep on playing.
That is what that's what they say. That's
you know, like you said, you know, bring a beer to the person who came down and yeah.
Yeah. They've curbed it. I think they had to curb it, you know, going back. But it is part of the sport. And I think it's fair to say they don't want to lose the fan base that really does enjoy that element of the game. I think that's real. And then I think the NHL is aware of that. So worth noting, it's kind of unfair that that's the only time you talk about hockey is when something like that happens. But the fact that they played Monday and this stuff happened, and then yesterday came the word of the $5,000 fine. I mean, really? $5,000? So you think Tom Wilson, oh, man, I don't want to get fined $5,000. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to get any fights anymore because that – $5,000. What's the point?
Yeah, that one makes me laugh.
What's the point of doing? Well, you know, we'll suspend him $5,000 and fine him $5,000, and that will he'll learn his lesson now. The guy's been suspended 5 times. He served a 20-game suspension in 2018. That's the fourth of the season. Did he change his ways after that? No, he's been suspended multiple times. And somehow doesn't get suspended for this one because it was bad. I mean, you punch a guy in the back of the head, you throw a guy down to the ice to the 2 leading scorers on this team. I mean, that deserved a multiple game suspension. And somehow, nothing. $5,000 fine. And then the irony that the same 2 teams play tonight and the Rangers called up their goon from the minors, which I believe happened in Slapshot, where they called someone up. Specifically because of their prowess with their fists. You know what's amazing about Slapshot, Ron? It's such a guy's movie, right? I mean, it's sports. It's
not a rom-com.
It's the ultimate guy's movie. It was written by a woman.
No, was it really?
Whose brother played minor league hockey. And yes, I used to go to a lot of minor league hockey games. In New Haven, Connecticut, you know, it was like my first job in radio, and they had a team. And you watch Slapshot, and it's like, oh, yeah, this happened. It was a little exaggerated, but there's so many great characters in that movie. The play-by-play guy with the toupee and the Hansen triplets. Great flick.
Now I got to watch it again.
Yeah, it's worth. It's worth it. Every once in a while, you got a fucking slap shot. So we got that tonight. We'll watch some NBA tonight. Last night, I watched the Nets and the Bucks. We're going to talk some NBA. Chris Sheridan next hour. He's been covering the NBA for a long time. BasketballNews.com. Interesting, Ron, the Bucks, who, of course, 2 years in a row had the best regular season record, and then flamed out in the playoffs, once in the East Finals and once in the second round. So people are down on them, you know, if they can't win in the postseason when they've got the home court. Other than last year, there really wasn't any home court because of the bubble. But the fact that they haven't gotten it done in the postseason, I think people are discounting them. And Philadelphia and Brooklyn have been the better teams through most of this regular season. The Bucks just beat the Sixers twice, and now they just beat the Nets twice. Now, both those teams were not at full strength. The Nets don't have James Harden right now. The Sixers didn't have all their guys. But, you know, let's not forget how good Milwaukee... You know, Milwaukee last year was 50-8 at one point. And, you know, just didn't get it done in the postseason. Are you in on the Bucks' chances this year?
Yes, because of Giannis. He's the X factor on that team. I don't know if they have enough now to get past, you know, say the Sixers or the Nets. I think it's their conference to lose. But it's, again, you know, it's one of those where you can't count out the Bucks at all.
I would be more impressed with the Bucks if they were doing this against if the teams they were doing against were at full strength. Now, we don't really know what the Nets are going to have if they do have all three of these guys together, because they've only played together 7 times.
I know. Still haven't been able to get it all together. Maybe the final week of the season, which is coming up right around the corner.
Well, they're saying Harden. Probably don't look for Harden until the rest of the regular season. You know, for so long, they didn't have Durant. He missed 7 weeks. Kyrie Irving kind of comes in and out of the lineup, you know, when he wants to play. Sometimes he doesn't want to play. And then as soon as Durant came back, Harden went down.
Well, he's got that, you know, paid time off leave that he still needs to take care of.
Yeah, load management. So, you know, when they made the trade to get Harden, everybody was saying, well, can those three stars coexist together? There's only one ball. They're used to, you know, taking a lot of shots. I mean, Durant and Irving both are guys who take a lot of shots. Harden's the one who really has to, I think, change his game. And I think he can do it. I mean, he was playing great before he got hurt. He was playing great in the small sample with the other stars. And then when they didn't have those guys, Harden was unbelievable. I mean, he was playing at an MVP level. I think they're going to be really tough to beat with all three, but I think they would have been helped by those three playing together and learning how to play together, and they haven't done that. So we'll see. I mean, we still don't even know if Harden's going to come back. I think they're going to certainly try and get him back. And, you know, the Sixers, they're really good at home. They're playing really good defense. But I would look out for the Bucks. I think they're almost helped by maybe going into a playoff where the expectations aren't as high. You know, they were the one seed 2 years in a row, and so everybody expects them to get the finals. They don't do it. This year, maybe not. People won't expect them to do it, and maybe they will. So NBA talk in 1 hour. Chris Sheridan, basketballnews.com. We'll take a break. I'm John Stashower. This is Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Tony off, back tomorrow. John Stashower in, wrapping up hour number one. And this is my third straight morning doing the show. I can't believe we haven't discussed this story, which kind of broke over the weekend in the midst of the NFL draft. This is a story. How did we not see this coming? Tim Tebow. You know Tim? You familiar with his work?
One of my favorite.
You know, he was quarterback for a while, won a lot of games, not really because of him, in spite of him, played some minor league baseball, last seen hitting 163 in the minors in 2019. He has finally, you know, hung up the baseball, and he's got the gig on ESPN. I think he does a lot of speeches and stuff like that and, you know, does well financially. But, you know, he's from Jacksonville, and he played for Urban Meyer at Florida. Connect the dots. Tim Tebow may well be a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2021. Not as a quarterback, as a tight end. Now, I remember doing shows with Mel Kiper at ESPN during the whole, you know, Tebow going into the draft years, and that was Mel's point all along. He's not a quarterback. He doesn't know how to throw. I mean, that's the problem. He's got that delivery that doesn't really work. You can get by with it in the SEC, but not in the NFL. But as an athlete, Mel always said, you know, he used to say H-back, but tight end, why not? You know, when he went to the Jets, the big thing was that they were going to use him as the front guy in punt formation. They had ESPN went live with his first practice at Jets training camp because of a guy that they had brought in to be the lead man in to block in punt formation. So there's this fascination. There always has been with Tim Tebow for whatever reason, and we're not done with him yet because he's gone now from, you know, not very good quarterback to not very good minor league baseball player. And I give him credit for what he did with baseball. He stuck it out for years riding buses. It's not like they gave him special treatment. He wasn't even in the high minors. He was in the low minors, and he did all right. He's a great athlete. So he like Michael Jordan did, he was able to do a little something, but he never really was sure that he was a major league player, but he had a dream and he followed it. I give him credit for that. And this story of him possibly being a tight end, I don't know, maybe an emergency quarterback playing for his old buddy Urban Meyer, who's his neighbor now. They live in the same gated community in Jacksonville. This has to happen. And apparently there's some truth to it. Some crazy stuff happened on draft day. We'll talk about that coming up.